मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरि यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। सो लेट्स टेक सम क्वेश्चंस फ्रॉम भगवद गीता। द लास्ट सेशन यू टोल्ड, सो दिस इज विनोद, सो द क्वेश्चन फ्रॉम विनोद, द लास्ट सेशन यू टोल्ड गॉड इज अ पर्सन, आई डोंट नो व्हाई आई डोंट फील लाइक एक्सेप्टिंग इट, स्टिल आई फील गॉड इज फॉर्मलेस। Okay, if he's a person, how he looks? The same way how everyone says he will sleeping on a big five-headed snake and Lord Lakshmi is massaging his leg. Is hell exist after death? We will be punished the way how in Garuda Puran they have explained. How Vaikuntha looks? Please tell the beauty of the place. Oh, this is a very nice question we can discuss for next 1 hour. Okay. So regarding the formless feature of the Lord, so you're not the only one who feels this. There are many, many people who feel this. Why? Because people in general, they feel that how can God, you know, be there in some limited space? How can he be limited? How can he be finite? So this is what is the question that people have. But then one thing we have to understand is that Lord can do anything. He can be finite and at the same time he can be infinite. So he's called as God, right? So he's called as God. And he's a person. There's no doubt about that. He's a person. Because we all are his part and parcel, and we all are persons. See, we all are not formless, right? We have a form. We have an eternal form. No doubt about that, again. So if we have a form, if we mortal beings have a form, then can we say, or is it right to say, that the Supreme Being does not have a form? So it goes on to say, suppose this is correct. Let's assume that this is correct, that we have a form and he is formless. So it means that we have something which he does not have. So if that is the case, then how is he God? Because God should have everything. He should have everything, right? So the Lord has got a very, very beautiful form. That's how the prayer also goes. Sachidananda Vigraha. So he is eternal, Sat, Chit, full of knowledge, and Ananda, full of bliss. Vigraha, he is a person. This is how the description goes. And yes, Lord Vishnu, in his very beautiful feature, very, very beautiful form, he's sleeping or he's resting on a very beautiful bed of a huge snake, Anantashesh. Not just five hoods, no, it is thousands and thousands of hoods. So it is described that there are infinite number of universes, and on the head of Ananta, on every hood, there is one universe, you know, which is hovering. So Ananta is holding those universes. And then Lakshmi Devi, she is massaging the feet of the Lord. Not just one Lakshmi, there are Sahasra Lakshmi. Sahasra Lakshmis are doing the seva. So Shastras talk about it. See, all of us might have some or the other preconception, pre-notions, you know, from this world. We have picked up from here and there, either from some movies, from some TV serials, or from some gossip, some talk here and there. All of us have got some or the other notions from the past. It is there. And as soon as we hear something from Shastra, which is against what we have heard or what we have seen, you know, in this mortal world, it becomes very difficult to accept. So one important point that we need to understand is we have to accept the Shastric conclusion, the Vedic conclusion as it is. This is a very big thing. In Kali Yuga, it's a very, very big thing to accept something as it is. Because everywhere people want to give opinions. Now this is what I feel, according to me, this is my opinion. Yes. So because of that, what happens? Accepting the Shastric conclusions becomes very, very difficult. So as the students of Gita, now this is what you know, we need to accept, that yes, what is given by Lord Krishna in his literary incarnation, Vedavyas, in terms of all the Vedic scriptures, they are absolute because it is given by the absolute personality. And in the Shastra, it is very clear what is the form of the Lord. So as I was describing in the last session, that how Krishna is the original personality, and from him comes all the incarnations, right till Shirodakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma who is situated in all our hearts. So to accept that Lord is a person is a very, very important thing. If suppose, oh, let's assume again, Lord is formless, then how can we worship someone who is formless? First. Second, how can we connect to someone who is formless? And most important, how can we love a person who is formless? In Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they would love Lord Shri Krishna. And that Lord Shri Krishna was not light or energy or some formless feature. He was a very, very, he is a very, very beautiful personality. So in Damodar Ashtakam that we were singing, so very, very beautiful lines are there, you know, in that. Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta nilair vratam kunthalai snegda raktasya gopya mohoschumbitam bimba rakta dharam me manasya virashtam alam lakshalabhai. So there it is given, mohos chumbitam bimba rakta dharame. And before that, the line which says that Yashoda Maya, she's again and again and again, she's kissing the beautiful cheeks of Lord Shri Krishna with a lot of love and affection. So yes, now they had got so much of love for Krishna. Not just Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, all the gopas, all his friends, they would love Krishna so much, so much. It is described that they were not able to bear the separation of few hours of night. Entire day they would be there with Krishna. From early morning till the late evening, they will be herding cows with Krishna. But when they would come back home, they would not feel like going to the respective houses. So at night, when Mother Yashoda is trying her best to put Krishna to rest by telling various stories and singing various lullabies, so she would try her best and Krishna would go to sleep, he would rest, and then some gopa would come there. Well, they have so much of love for Krishna. They would come there in the middle of the night and they would say, Krishna, come. You know, it's early morning. Let's go. It's late for herding cows. Let's go. And Krishna would get up. Yes, I'm coming. And Mother Yashoda would hold him. Hey, it's still night. Sleep. And then she'll go out and she'll shout at all the gopas that what's wrong with you all? See, there is no sun. You know, it's midnight and you people are coming to wake my Lala, wake my Kanha, my darling Krishna. So the gopas cannot bear the separation from Krishna. The gopis cannot bear separation from Krishna. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they cannot bear separation from Krishna. That is called love. Love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whom were they dealing with? Were they dealing with some formless feature? They were not dealing with some formless feature. They were dealing with the most, most, most beautiful personality in the entire creation. So in this way, when we go through the Shastric references and when we go through the pastimes of Lord Krishna, then it's very easy, you know, to accept that Lord Shri Krishna is a person. And we, as a person, we can love that Supreme Person. And that is what is the goal. We have to love that Supreme Person. We have to attain, you know, that Supreme Person. We have to serve that Supreme Person. So if any of us still have that concoction that yes, Lord is formless. He might be formless for someone else, not for us. Yes. We are students of Gita. And who spoke Gita? Lord Shri Krishna. Who had a form. So it was not that in front of Arjun there was nothing formless and from some sky some sound is coming. No, there was a beautiful personality sitting on the chariot holding the bridle of which was tied to all the horses, and he was speaking to Arjun. That beautiful form. So there is one very nice pastime which I'm remembering. So what happened is in South India, I forgot the place name, in one of the places here in South India. So this was during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, who is the incarnation in the age of Kali, Krishna's incarnation in the age of Kali. So Lord Chaitanya went to the South Indian tour and then he came to South, in one of the place in the temple. If I'm not wrong, it was Srirangam. And there he comes and he sees that there was an illiterate Brahmana. And then he was holding Bhagavad Gita and he was holding it upside down. And he was, you know, he was crying, tears were flowing from the eyes continuously. And all the other Brahmanas who were there, who were very learned, who knew how to recite Bhagavad Gita, who knew how to chant the Vedic hymns, they were all making fun of him. So now when Lord Chaitanya went to him, he asked that, why are you crying? And you know, why are you holding the book upside down? What are you doing? He said, see, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read and write. I've got instruction from my guru that read Bhagavad Gita every day. So I'm just, you know, trying to make some head and tail of this book and trying to read. Then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, then are you crying because everyone else around you are making fun of you? Then he said, no, I'm not, I'm least bothered about it. And then again, Lord Chaitanya asked that, you know, then why are you crying? Then he showed the book. He showed the book, Bhagavad Gita. And on the front page, can we have that book? Bhagavad Gita. So on the front page, up. Yeah. So on the front page there, you know, he was seeing this personality, Lord Krishna. In fact, you know, here there's a small picture where Krishna is holding the bridle of the chariot. So he was looking at that and he was crying and he was telling, my Lord Sri Krishna here, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lakshmis are serving him. And look at my Lord, what is he doing? My Lord is holding the bridle of the chariot and he has become the chariot driver of his devotee. Aha! No, he's my Lord, he's my Lord, he's my Lord. And he started crying. So those tears were tears of love. Tell me, how can we have tears of love for a formless person? Right? So, and also at the time of death, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8.5, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. So Krishna is saying, if you remember me at the time of death, you will come back to me. So if Lord is formless, then what will we remember? What will we remember if Lord is formless? So if Krishna was formless, then Krishna wouldn't have told that verse at all. It is a trick, right? What Krishna is saying, if you remember me, then you'll come back to me. But then if he's formless, just close your eyes and think, formless. What will you get? What picture are you getting? Formless. Some white paper, black paper, red paper, gray paper. What paper? So some space we'll get. So how can we say that we are remembering Krishna? So here Krishna is talking about remembering his name, form, qualities and pastimes. So anyone who remembers me will come back to me. This is what he says. So if Lord is formless, then how can we remember him? So like this, you know, we have got so many points to discuss on that how Lord has got a beautiful form and he does his various pastimes. And he was that cowherd boy who would go and herd the cows of Nanda Maharaj. He was that cowherd boy who would milk the cows. He is that cowherd boy who goes and plays with all the Gopa friends. And he is that cowherd boy who goes and dances with his Gopi friends. And he is that cowherd boy who sucks the breast milk of Mother Yashoda. And he is that cowherd boy who holds the little finger of Nanda Maharaj and trying to walk in his initial days when he started walking. He is that cowherd boy who came to Kurukshetra on the battlefield, on the chariot of Arjuna and gave Bhagavad Gita for all of us. So when we say that Lord is formless, mind you, we are offending the Lord. Just imagine, you know, someone is speaking about your, say, someone is talking to your child. And then the person is asking, how does your father look? How does your mother look? And your child says, formless. Just imagine how much offensive that will be. How much you get offended, formless. Same is the thing with Krishna. Aray, he has got a beautiful form. Kandar pakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. The most beautiful personality and we are calling him formless. So offensive that. So offensive. Yes. So yes, we have to understand and accept that yes, Lord has a beautiful form, and it's that form is not like ours, made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. It is a fully spiritual form, chit ghan, completely spiritual. I can go on speaking, as I said, for another 1 hour topic, but then I would like to take now the next question. Will we be punished the way how it's given in Garuda Puran? Yes, absolutely. Garuda Puran, no, it talks very, very beautifully. You do this sin, you'll go to this particular hell. You go do this sin, you go to this particular hell. Not just Garuda Puran, the fifth canto, last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam also talks about the same thing, about different hellish planets. And we do this particular sin, we go to this particular hellish planet. So yes, that's how it is. That's how it is. And the next question says that how Vaikuntha looks. Okay. So how Vaikuntha looks, maybe we can directly perceive Vaikuntha. We can directly go and see that place. And anyways, you know, I would describe some from Brahma Samhita. It says, Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. So the entire structure, all the structures in, you know, this wonderful place, Vaikuntha or Sri Goloka Vrindavan, is made up of Chintamani. What do we mean by Chintamani? Touchstone. Touchstone has this wonderful quality that, you know, you touch anything, it will become gold. Chintamani. Chintamani. Everything is made up of Chintamani. Very, very beautiful. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. So there are Kalpa Vrikshas. So now here in this world, when it comes to a tree, say a mango tree, now you cannot expect that, you know, I'm watering every day, so, you know, apple should come. Mango will only come. But then in spiritual world, the same tree, any tree in fact, Kalpa Vrikshas, you just go and stand below that tree and just pray, you know, just pray anything, and that will manifest. If you pray for, some nice sweet rasmalai, you know, the tree will give rasmalai. You pray for anything, the tree will give. That is the desire tree. Desire tree, desire or wish fulfilling tree. Kalpavruksha lakshavritesh surabhir apipalayantam. And there are surabhi cows. Well, lots of cows are there, very, very beautiful ones. And these cows are also very special. You just touch the cow, or you just be in front of the cow and pray that I want this and will get it. So everything in Vaikuntha is Chintamani. Everything is wish-fulfilling entities around. And it is described in Vaikuntha. Every single person gets a four-handed form. Just imagine you are chanting and you perfect your life. And then suddenly you imagine, oh, two hands more. Yes. And the beautiful form like Lord Vishnu. Like Lord Vishnu. So that is Vaikuntha, and in Goloka, you know, depends whatever form is ours. That is, as a gopa or a gopi or a peacock tree or parrot or whatever, that form we might get. So all these different entities in Vaikuntha, they're eternal. Now, one boy was asking me this question, I think 2 years back. Yes, 2 years back. I was giving a series of sessions, you know, for youth boys, called Journey of Self-Discovery. So it's similar to Gita course, but that is more of... Gita course is directly from Bhagavad Gita. Journey of Self-Discovery was more of indirect. We were not quoting Bhagavad Gita verses because they might not understand, so we are not quoting it. There I was talking about that, how is Vaikuntha? So I said, Vaikuntha. Vai means not, and Kuntha means miseries. So we have got four... Oh, great problem in this world. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Janma, birth. Mrityu, death. Jara, old age. Vyadi, disease. So birth, death, old age and disease. So these four are there. So these four are there in this world. This is Kuntha. This world is called as Kuntha. And that world is called as Vaikuntha, where there are no miseries. So that boy was asking, Prabhuji, how can we understand that without death, how will our life be adventurous? How can we accept this fact that there will be no death, there will be no old age? How can we enjoy our life without enough to enjoy? So we have lost mango, and you have to enjoy the mango just drinking it. So what will you do? First, a Karela juice. Yes. After drinking Karela juice, only we can enjoy mango juice. That's what you say. So mango juice itself is enjoyable, is relishable. So it's not that we need some opposite thing, you know, to taste and then relish the same. So in this world, you know, we are conditioned, you know, in the cycle of birth, death, birth, death. So we expect that, okay, death is there. So, you know, so we have to live our life like this. But then, and also another point is happiness and sadness are part of life. You know, people say we have no option. You know, it has become part of life in this world. But our actual position or our actual constitutional setup is we are full of anand, we are blissful. Yes, that is the reason every now and then we keep searching for happiness. Anywhere you go. Now, suppose now when the lockdown is opening, when people are going out, you ask this question, why am I going out? Why am I going to this place? Why am I going to that place? Only one answer will be there, happiness. That's it. Happiness. I want happiness. Why we are searching for happiness? Is to be happy all the time. But then this world is dukkhalayam, no? So a happy entity, that is we, have been put into this world which is dukkhalayam. We have no option but, you know, to get that sadness or suffering, and along with that, when the sadness or suffering is removed, a little bit of happiness is there. But then we have to understand that this world is full of miseries, but that world is free from miseries. That world is meant only and only for happiness. And in Vaikuntha, we'll be discussing in our advanced sessions the comparison of this world and that world. So one of the points is that here it's all about selfishness. Me, me and only me. And there it's only Krishna, Krishna and Krishna. So I don't know how many of us can accept this fact that in spiritual world, it's only serving Krishna, no sense gratification. But yes, just by serving Krishna, now the happiness that a person gets, he cannot compare that happiness by fulfilling his own selfish motives. Not possible. So in spiritual world, it's all about selflessness. And here in this material world, it's all about selfishness. So in this way, we understand that in spiritual world, the beautiful places, like the rivers are described, like the rivers of nectar, and mountains, and then as I already described, the places are made up of with valuable jewels, and all the personalities are extremely beautiful. Now I cannot describe that because they're extremely beautiful. The beauty that doesn't exist in this world, that's how they are, extremely beautiful. The beauty is comparable to that of Supreme Personality of God. Every single person is like that. And every single person is healthy, and every single person is completely spiritual. There is no tinge of matter that is completely beyond the three modes of material nature, completely beyond the matter, completely beyond the conceptions of this world. Yes. Anyways, you know, when we go there, we can see and we can relish, you know, instead of I describing more. Because all the ones who are chanting Hare Krishna every single day, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with complete faith and devotion, their destination is Vaikuntha. There's no doubt about that. So we can directly go and see at the end of life. Let me take next question now. From a long time, I was thinking of keeping only one God photo and do puja, but was confused which God to follow, but now it's completely clear whom to worship. Okay, thank you. I want to change my idols and photos from in puja room and start worshiping Lord Krishna. How do I do that? What am I thinking is correct or not? Other gods will not feel that I'm forgetting them, and they should not feel I'm insulting them. They will not get angry on me now. This is the most frequently asked questions. So, see, we have to understand one thing. Who are demigods? Let's understand that today. They are really very great personalities. They are not chuttu jivas like us of this material world. They are not like us, you know, who have got narrow conceptions, who are narrow-minded. They are broad-minded. They are eternal servants of Krishna. Now, just imagine, by practicing spirituality, all of us have got a different perspective. Many of the participants, they were sharing that how they are not getting affected by various things around. Even if things are going crazy, you know, still they are not getting affected in their day-to-day life. And you know, some people were sharing that their anger has reduced. Some people were sharing that now they are not getting affected by the ill words or ill speech of people around. So if this is our case, who are practicing bhakti, you know, from few months or whatever, just imagine about those personalities who are directly under Krishna and working for Krishna. Krishna is the administrative head of the entire universal administration. And all the Devi Devtas who are there, they're directly under Krishna. Now just imagine, the ones who are directly under Krishna, who are worshipping Krishna, how much satisfied they will be. Who will feel angry? Who will feel dissatisfied? Those personalities who are not completely filled with Him, who are not completely satisfied with Him. Yes? And those personalities are found only in this world, material world. I mean, you know, on this planet, where every now and then, you know, people feel that I want this, I want that. But people who are directly close to Krishna, you know, why will they desire for anything? Because they have Krishna with them. So in this way, we understand that this Devi Devtas who are there, all the 33 Koti Devi Devtas, they're completely satisfied with Him. Why? Because, you know, they have the Supreme Personality of Godhead with them. And they're directly working for Him. And in fact, it is given in Shastra that when Krishna is worshipped, all of them are satisfied completely. Completely they are satisfied. See, when we are doing any yajna, the first thing that is done is Lord Vishnu's name is invoked in any yajna. You just observe that. Wherever, suppose you go to any marriage ceremony, not the marriage yajna, or any graha pravesh yajna, or even for mrityu samskara yajnas, any yajna for that matter. In fact, even the Mundan Samskara, you know, which is there. So recently in our center, we were doing the Mundan Samskara of one child. So we were going through the mantras. So every mantra was talking about Vishnu. Every mantra. Yes. So it's very clear that the ahuti that is offered to Vishnu. And the prasad goes to all the Devi Devtas. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna says that... what is that shloka? Prabhashmi Shashi Suryayo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabdhake Paurusham Nrishu. So Krishna is saying that I am Pranava, I am Omkara, that syllable Om. Now whenever we are doing any yajna, the first syllable that is chanted is Om. Like for example, Om Ganeshaya Namaha. Yes, Om Rudraya Namaha. Om Durgaya Namaha. So Om is first there, and after that demigod's names are there, isn't it? So first Lord Vishnu is invoked in every single yajna, in every single ritual. And after that, now then the next devta's name is put. So when the Vishnu is invoked, so Vishnu will accept the offering that we are giving. And the prasad, now which Vishnu is, sorry, the offering that he's accepting becomes prasad, that is given to the devtas. So in this way we understand that whichever puja we do, whichever yajna we do, first Vishnu is invoked. And when Vishnu accepts, then other Devi Devtas will accept. Never ever it will happen that any Devi Devta will accept our offering directly. They'll first offer it to Vishnu and you know, then they will accept. Yes. So in this way, when we are worshipping the Lord, you know, why will they be angry with us? Why will they be angry with us? It's not that they need our little food that we are offering, 3 incense that we are offering or whatever. Is it? Are we giving them something which they don't have? They have everything. You know, it's very funny that, on Ganesh Chaturthi or on Hanuman Jayanti or whatever. So, you know, people, they feel that they're doing big offering. 21 Modaks I offered this Ganesh Chaturthi, you know, people say. As if Lord Ganesha's mother Parvati, she does not know how to make a Modak. And she's not making Modak and Laddus for him. Yes. So he's Vignaharta. He knows, you know, what to get and from where to get or whatever. So he's not depending on our offerings. But yes, it's an offering of love, you know, that we're giving. That's a different thing. That's a different topic to discuss. The point that I'm making is they are not hankering for our offerings. In fact, they are hankering that when this personality will break the cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna. Every single demigod, you know, they will be happy. They will be happy when we break the cycle of birth and death. Or else, you know, they will keep saying that, oh, how much long this person will keep troubling me in this material world? Every now and then doing some business with me. Yes. So it is very beautifully given in Shastra. I am not remembering that shloka. Where it says, Taror eva moola nisechanena trippyanti tatskandam bujopa shakaha. So it says that we water the root of the tree, then skanda, the branches, the sub-branches, the flowers, the fruits, the leaves, everything will get, you know, nourished and flourished. Why? Because we are watering the root. Similarly, prana upaharenda yatendriyanam, when we put food in the mouth, it goes to the stomach. So just by feeding the stomach, all the body parts, they will get nourished. Similarly, when we water or offer or worship Lord Shri Krishna, who is the root or who is the stomach, automatically all the other limbs will get nourished. I mean, all the other Devi Devtas, they will be happy and they will be satisfied. And another question which I always have when it comes to Devi Devta worship, that why only 4-5 photos are in home? So as I already said, there is no harm in doing Devi Devta worship. We can do. The only thing is our prayer should be proper. Our prayer is that please enhance my Krishna Bhakti. But then I have a question that why only 4-5 photos? Why not 33 crore Devi Devta photos? Why not? Is it that Vayudev is less than some other Devi Devta? If Vayudev decides that I'll not give air to this person, what will happen to us? If Suryadev decides that I'll not rise today in the sky, what will happen to us? If Varun Dev says that I'll not give water, what will happen to us? So why not all 33 crore Devi Devta? Why just 4-5 photos? Just imagine, for 33 crore Devi Devtas, we need a big space. And then, even if we say that 1 minute I'll give to every Devi Devta, 33 crore minutes we need. I don't know if we have so many minutes in our life. Anyway, so the point is that right from our childhood, we have been seeing something and we have acquired stuff from here and there. Now it's the time to acquire from the Shastra. Now it's the time to acquire or imbibe the principles from the Shastra and understand why we are doing and what are we doing. Very, very important. Let's not be just a sentimental person. Mostly people are sentimental. And in fact, it's a deep topic to discuss. Some other day we can discuss this topic. But still, maybe some points I can make. Mostly people are sentimental when it comes to worship. It's not sentimental. It's a science. It's a philosophy. Yes. So we have to understand what are we doing and why are we doing. So when it comes to deity worship, when we are worshipping the Lord. So when we are offering, this we are going to cover. There is an exclusive session called spiritual or ritual. This is a topic that we will discuss in our advanced Gita course, level 2. So there, it's an entire topic. We'll discuss 1.5 hours or 2 hours, where we'll discuss about why are we doing and what are we doing. Reasons for various things that we do. One such thing I'll mention here now. So when we are worshipping, when we are offering a worship, so when you say we are offering incense, so it's not about taking incense and just going round and round and round and round. So when we are offering incense, there are different places or different parts of the body of the Lord where we have to offer this incense. So like lotus feet. So you offer the incense 4 times at the lotus feet. So what are we doing when we're offering the incense to the lotus feet? We are focusing on the lotus feet. Yes. So every day when a person is focusing on the lotus feet, what will happen? That lotus feet, that impression, will be there on our minds. And like this, every single day when we are worshipping that beautiful form of Krishna, just that beautiful form of Krishna, that form will get imprinted on our minds. And then at the time of death, when we say Krishna, that form will come, that form will remember. This is called science of deity worship. It's not just, if I don't worship, then all the negative energies will come and this and that will happen. Oh, I'll not get money. I'll not get this. I'll not get that. Don't worship. Many atheists are there. Many atheistic people are living their life nicely. So karma is anyways, you know, going to get a lot of things. And that is there. But the point is that we are not interested in material things. We are grateful for whatever we have got and we want to express our gratitude, you know, to all these great personalities. And the root of all these great personalities is Krishna. And our goal is, at the time of death, we have to remember Krishna. Anta kale cha mam eva. At antakal, at the last breath, we want to remember Krishna. And how to remember Krishna? It's a practice. Entire life is a preparation and death is an examination. So this deity worship is one element of this entire practice. Chanting is one of the big element in the entire practice that we're doing in our entire life. So I hope, you know, I've given some logical explanation, some scientific explanation, some scriptural explanation. I hope this helps you. But yes, it will take some time. It's not that, you know, it is so easy to give up our mental concoction. So for many, many days and years, we have got that. So it will take some time. Then we'll start feeling, oh, Ganpati will feel bad. Lord Shiva will feel bad. Durga will feel bad. So that all that will be there. Even I felt that for some time. But then when philosophically, when I understood various things, then it was very easy to accept Krishna as that Supreme Personality. So anyways, just keep attending the Gita course, chant the holy names and read Bhagavad Gita. By all this, that conviction will come that yes, Krishna is that Supreme Personality whom I'm supposed to worship. And He is not just a personality or third party. He is my personality. He is mine. Krishna is mine. That mood will come after some time. Yes. Hope this answers your question to some extent. Let me take the next question. Once the soul leaves the body, what will be its state of mind? So Anup is asking this question. So, I don't have this opportunity to unmute and ask you only. We have covered the point. So, the soul is there and it is covered by the subtle body first. What does subtle body consist of? Mind, intelligence, and false ego, right? And then the outer covering is the gross body made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, which we can see. So now when the soul leaves the body, at the time of death, when the soul is leaving the body, so what is the state of mind? The state of mind is that which is very, very strong throughout our life. Whatever impression was strong throughout our life, that impression or that state will be there when it comes to the state of mind. So suppose a person he's very much into watching something nonsense all the time. So that nonsense is his constant state throughout his life. Same thing will appear, you know, at the time of death. Or for example, you know, someone has got a pet, say a cat or a dog or whatever. So throughout the life, they're with the dog all the time or with the cat all the time. Or nowadays, people give Python also. No, Python all the time. That's what is a strong impression. Oh, my Python embraces me like this. Oh, my Python kisses me like this or whatever. So that impression will be there at the time of death. You know, we'll remember a Python and then we'll become a Python in the next life. So that's what Krishna is saying. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyate ante kalayavaram tam tam ivaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever we remember at the time of death, that's what will become in the next life. Means whatever we have done throughout our life, that will be the state of mind at the time of death. And that state of mind will decide the next destination. Hope this clears your question. Okay, how does the soul exit from the body at the time of death? And what significance does each exit point hold? So, I think I answered this question through WhatsApp. But for everyone's benefit, I would like to answer it. So, in our body, we have got 9 holes. Two eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 1 mouth, 1 anus, and 1 rectum. So like that, we have got 9 holes in our body. So, and there is also another point, which is called as Rantra. So this place, now I'm sure you might have noticed for small kids, this place is very, very soft. This very, very soft place. And with time, this becomes hard. This part will become hard. So this goes Randhra. So 9 holes and this Randhra. So these are the 10 places from which the soul comes out of the body. So it is described that when the soul exits from the higher parts of the body, it goes to the higher planetary systems. And when it goes out of the lower parts of the body, what happens? The person goes to the lower and obnoxious places. The next destination is not that great. But when the person practices practices transcendence very nicely, and through yogic practices, now Krishna is mentioning this in the 8th chapter, if he is able to exit, you know, from this place, there's a small hole that is made and zoop, out. Yes. So that can happen, then the person, you know, goes to a spiritual realm. So these are the different significances of different holes in the body. But then Krishna mentions that for devotees, it doesn't matter. So for us, for devotees, our main goal is that we want to please Krishna. And Krishna will come personally to take, how does it matter which hole? So Krishna will come and personally call us, and the devotee is eager. Entire life he has practiced that, you know, I want to attain Krishna, I want to attain Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna. Entire life, while chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, entire life this practice is done. And at the time of death, he is eager to go out of this body. Whereas materialists, they're eager to stay in this body. And they want to stay in this body, but the Yamadutas, they're pulling, you know, that person out. And then from one of the holes, you know, that person will be pulled out. But for devotees, they're eager. You know, Krishna comes and Krishna says, chalo. And the devotee is like, chalo. So both of them are less, they'll just go. So for devotees, it doesn't matter. You know, but when it comes to people in general, yes, it matters. From which part of the body the soul leaves. So that's how we see that sometimes the dead body's eyes will be open. Sometimes the mouth will be open. Other parts we cannot understand. You know, is it open or not? But at least this much, you know, we can see eyes and no mouth. I just hope this answers your question. Next question is... your session was at par excellence. Your way of convincing that Krishna is Supreme Lord is really supreme. Please narrate more about Shiva and Krishna. Okay. So Shyam is asking this question. So Shyam is Krishna. Krishna is asking this question. Okay. So it's my pleasure to describe more about Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. So there is something called as Vishnu Tattva and something called as Shambhu Tattva. So being a Shaivite, you know, from the Shaivite background, and currently, you know, the background of Vaishnava, you know, I can describe both. So when it comes to Lord Shiva, so Shiva is in Shambhu Tattva. There is a Tattva called Shambhu Tattva. And when it comes to Vishnu, he is Vishnu Tattva. And we all belong to something called as Jiva Tattva. And the energies of the Lord are called as Shakti Tattva. Okay. So when it comes to the difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva, there is not a great difference between the two. They are, you know, very, very close. And the relationship that is given in Brahma Samhita is the yogurt and milk. So Krishna is like milk and Lord Shiva is like yogurt. Not much difference. Yes. So in this way, when it comes to Shambhu Tattva, he's almost like Lord Krishna. Suppose you remove, you know, Lord Krishna from the picture, you can easily say that yes, Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. But as soon as Krishna comes into picture, Lord Shiva takes a lower position. He says, no, I am not Supreme Personality. He is Supreme Personality. Yes. So in this way, we understand that Lord Shiva, he takes a very wonderful position of being Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So who is the topmost Vaishnav? In Shastra, it is given that out of all the rivers, Ganga, you know, she is the topmost. And out of all the months, Margashish is the topmost. And of all the places, Dwarka is the topmost. And of all the devotees, Lord Shiva is the topmost. You know, this is a very nice shloka where the line says, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So he's the topmost personality. And all the time, he's busy. He's all the time busy meditating on Lord Krishna. Or specifically Sankarshan. And the Lord also does not take a step back. Lord Krishna, when he is served by his devotees, he serves his devotees back. Like for example, in Sudama's case, Lord Krishna, he bathed or he washed the feet of Sudama with water? No, with the tears of love from his own eyes. Can you imagine? Now, tears are flowing from Krishna's eyes and he's washing the feet of his friend Sudama. So Sudama served Krishna so much that, you know, Krishna is so indebted that he is serving Sudama like that. Similarly, we see in Ramayana, you know, Lord Shiva is serving, you know, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna so much in all the ways. Because this material world, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they are, you know, taking care of this material world under the orders of Lord Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat biparivartate. He says that maya dhakshena prakriti, maya dhakshena, my adhyaksha. Under my adhyaksha, this entire prakriti is working. And this prakriti, this material nature, is nothing but, you know, the form or the external energy, you know, who is Durga. And, you know, Durga's husband is Lord Shiva, Shambhu. So in this way, we understand that both of them, you know, they're serving so nicely that Lord Ram takes an opportunity to worship Lord Shiva and he shows how to worship Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. You know, so many times in the past times we have seen, I mean, in the Shastra we have read that any personality who prays Lord Shiva is like Tathastu. Doesn't matter demon or demigod or anyone, Tathastu. So it's called as Ashutosh. Who is easily pleased. He's very, very easily pleased. He's also called as Bholenath. He's very, very bhola. He's very, very nice and innocent and things like that. So once what happened is a personality called Bhasmasur, he did a lot of tapasya and he asked Lord Shiva. He invoked Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came there and then Lord Shiva said, what do you want? He said, I want a benediction that as soon as I keep my hand on another's head, that head should burst. And Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh, he doesn't think twice, he's Tathastu. So when this benediction was given, so this Bhasmasur who was there, he wanted to enjoy Shambhu's wife Parvati. He started saying, oh, she's so beautiful, I want her. And who is the obstacle in between? This Shiva. I will kill the Shiva by his own benediction. He started running behind Lord Shiva to keep his own head on Lord Shiva's head. His own hand on Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva is running for his own life. And finally, you know, he begs and prays to Lord Vishnu that please help. And Lord Vishnu comes as a small Brahmana, a small boy. And then he starts telling this Bhasmasura that, why are you running so much? Are this body is so important. This body will help us to enjoy nicely. Why are you making it tired? Don't do this. And why are you running? Then he said, I want to kill him. So he said, how will you kill? He said, he has given me a benediction that you know, I'll keep my hand on anyone, that head will burst. Then that boy, Vishnu in that form, he started laughing. He said that, what are you saying? He has given you a benediction. He himself does not have a house. And look at his clothes. He does not wear clothes also. And he has snakes and scorpions all around and skulls on the body. I don't think that person has any capability to give any benediction. If you don't believe on me, test. Keep your hand on your own head. No, let's see. No, let's see. I'm damn sure that nothing will happen, but still try and see. And that foolish Bhasmasur, he took his hand and he kept it on his own head and his head bursted and he died. So like this, we've seen so many pastimes that Lord Shiva is taking shelter of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Even in Krishna Leela, Lord Shiva, he wants to take darshan of Lord Krishna, baby Krishna. Now the relationship between Krishna and Lord Shiva is very, very sweet. That only devotees can understand who read Shastra. So Lord Shiva came there in a very nice form, in his original form with snakes and other things, as sadhu. He comes there, you know, to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Nanda Bhavan. This time when I had gone to Vrindavan, I had gone to Nanda Bhavan, you know, there. So there in that place, we have deities of Krishna Balram and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. You know, that's the only place where we have these deities. So he went to that Bhavan, Nanda Bhavan, and he said that I want to take darshan of Krishna. And Yashoda Maya, she came out and she was horrified. She said, how can I get Krishna outside? You have what such a horrifying looks. My Kanha, when a cat, you know, it meows, My Kana comes and hides behind, and then he shivers. He's a thunder. When there is thunder, Krishna comes and hides behind me. And he says, Maya, please save me. If he sees all these snakes and other things, oh, no, he'll get scared. No, I'm not getting him outside. And Lord Shiva went from that place. He's like completely morose that I'm not able to see my Lord. And Krishna is inside, you know, like a baby. He's there. But then Lord Krishna, whenever someone is hankering intensely to take his darshan, that to a devotee like Lord Shiva, why will he not give darshan? Lord Shiva then, you know, sorry, Lord Krishna, he forces Mother Yashoda that, you know, I want to go and meet, you know, Lord Shiva or, you know, the Bholenath who has come. And Mother Yashoda is like, no, I'll not take you out there. And Lord Krishna is like, if you don't take me to that person, I will not eat anything. I'll not drink anything. Krishna started fasting. And Mother Yashoda was forced. And then Mother Yashoda took Krishna outside the village and Shiva was still waiting that, no, my Lord will come, my Lord will come. And then finally, you know, they got darshan. This time when I went to Vrindavan, every place, wherever there's Mukhya Sthali or the important pastime place of the Lord, there Shivling was there. Like, for example, there's a place called, in Vrindavan only, in the entire Vrindavan, the pastime places of the Lord, the famous intimate pastime places of Lord and his devotees. So there we have a Shivlinga, a very famous Shivlinga called Gopeshwar Mahadev. So there Lord Shiva is present in a gopi form. So every single evening, so the Shivlinga along with Anantadev, they are dressed very beautifully with the sari. That's the only place where Shiva is dressed with sari. And very, very beautifully ornaments are put. Even the nose ring Lord Shiva is wearing there. The pastime is that Lord Shiva wanted to take darshan of Lord Krishna when he was with other gopis. So Shiva wanted to become a gopi and he wanted to enter the dancing pastime of Lord Krishna. Now, Shiva is there in his male form. How can he enter this dancing party? Because Krishna is the only Purusha in the dancing party. Then Lord Shiva, he went and begged and prayed to Srimati Radharani. He said, Kada karishyasi hamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. O goddess, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance onto this soul? Even I want to participate in the pastimes of the Lord. And Srimati Radharani pleased, you know, with Lord Shiva's prayers. She said, go and take a dip in that particular kund, in a lake. So that was a very sacred kunda, a sacred lake. Lord Shiva went there, he dipped inside. When he was dipping inside, he was Mahadev. When he came out, he was Gopeshwar Mahadev. A very, very beautiful form of gopi. But this gopi form was very peculiar because this gopi form also had snakes on the body. And a third eye was also there, you know, on the body. Maybe I'll send some photo. I've got some photos of Gopeshwar Mahadev. You all can see that. Maybe in the groups we can circulate. So that's the relationship between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. They have got such intimate relationship. And Lord Shiva is there at every place. Like there is a place called Radha Kund Shyam Kund near Govardhan. And there we have a Shivlinga, which is worshipped very, very nicely. That is named as Kundeshwar Mahadev. So he's taking care of that place. So this basically this relationship of the Lord and his devotee is, that is Krishna and Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva's promise is wherever you are there, O Lord, I will be there as, you know, this doorkeeper or Dwarpal. So you see, wherever there is big temple of the Lord, Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, you will see Lord Vishnu around. Lord Shiva around. Like for example, in Jagannath Puri, we have Lord Jagannath. And in Bhuvaneshwar, you know, we have got a very beautiful deity or, you know, Shivalinga, which is there. And in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka, all these places, you will find a prominent Shivalinga which is worshipped every place. So this is a relationship between the master and the servant. So in this way, we understand from the Shastra that the relationship between Lord Krishna and his devotee, Lord Shiva, is very, very intimate. Very intimate and very nice. But the people who don't understand this relationship, you know, they divide themselves into two sects, Shaivites and Vaishnavites or whatever, and they keep fighting who is supreme and who is supreme. Obviously, now in Kali Yuga, it doesn't happen, but previously, you know, in the start of Kali Yuga, it would happen a lot at that time. So anyways, you know, I'll stop here or it will be more and more. Okay, so it's now 8:15. So maybe I'll take one more question and then we'll end. All the questions are really nice, very philosophical. Still, there are some eight questions I see here. Okay. Krishna is the last incarnation of Dashavatara, then how can he become the Supreme God? If he is the Supreme God, then why all the incarnations are mentioned from Narayan, Mahavishnu, who resides in Vaikuntha? Narayana and Krishna are same, but why Narayana is not Supreme God? Please explain. Okay. I'm sorry, it may be a little offending. No, it's not offending. It's a very frequently asked question. Okay, let's understand firstly about Dashavatara. See, Dashavatara Stotram was written by Jayadev Goswami. Very, very beautiful stotra where Dashavatara is given. But see, one thing we have to understand is that only these 10 incarnations were highlighted by Jayadev Goswami. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are infinite incarnations. We cannot count the incarnations. It is said that you go and sit on the shore of a sea and count the number of the waves which are coming. Those many incarnations Krishna has. Now, how many waves are there? Infinite. Infinite number of incarnations are there when it comes to Lord Krishna's incarnation. Okay. Now, when it comes to the specific Dashavatara, which people talk about. So, we have various incarnations, and I'm not sure of the numbers. So, in one of the places, Lord Krishna is given as the incarnation. But there, according to Shastra, it's not Krishna, it's actually Balram, who is there in that position. It's not Krishna. So, in Dashavatara, Krishna is not there. No, it's Balram who is there in Dashavatara, according to Shastric references. So, here we understand that when it comes to any problem that people face in this material world, so that time, for example, in Krishna Leela itself. So all the Devi Devtas, they approached Lord Vishnu, the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. They went to Shir Sagar, that is the Dhruva Loka, and they approached Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, that is Shirodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma got the knowledge of what has to be done, and the message was given. So the message was, I will come in my original form as Lord Krishna. So this was told. So like this, whenever there is problem in this world, so the Devi Devtas, they approach Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and he manifests as various incarnations. Yes. So these incarnations are coming from Lord Krishna because Shirodakshaya Vishnu has come from Lord Krishna. So that is the logic that is there here. So in this way, we understand the relationship of Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu. But anyways, I tell in all my sessions that it hardly matters the difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu because they are the same personalities. There's no difference. There's no difference between them. The candles which are there. So when we lit the candles, so all the candles will look the same. Yes. So if all the candles are looking same, how will we say that who is supreme and who is not? Obviously, there is one candle which is the source of all the candles. But once all of them are lit, so it's the same. So in this age of Kali, we need not think much about who is supreme, Vishnu or Krishna or whatever. They are same personalities. We have to worship Vishnu Tattva or Krishna Tattva. Hope that answers the question. So I don't think we need to ponder too much on this topic, Vishnu, Krishna, or whatever. Yes. So it's like we have to worship one personality, Vishnu or Krishna, whomever is there. Yes, according to Shastric reference, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Govinda, Krishna is the Adi Purusha. That's what is mentioned. So hope this helps. And one more question was there. Yeah, Goddess Kali. So in the eastern part of India, especially in Bengal, we worship Ma Kali in different Rupa. Who is Ma Kali? We have learned Shyam and Shama are same. Can you please clear this, Prabhuji? Both worship style are different. Yes. So let's understand who is Kali, who is Durga. So now in Krishna Leela, what happened is the seventh child of Devaki was Sankarshan or Anantashesh or Balram. So he was there as a seventh child in the womb of Devaki. In Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, he called for Durga, his external energy. And he called for Durga and then he said that I have a task for you. And if you complete this task, you will be known by different names in the entire creation. And that's how you see in the entire creation, we have Durga with different names. any village you go, there'll be one form of Durga with a different name. At least I have noticed this. Wherever we have gone, now we have seen that at every place there'll be a different named same personality, Durga Shakti or Shakti form of the Lord, a Shakti form of Durga Devi. Yes, so that will be there, you know, everywhere. So this was the benediction that was given by Krishna, and Durga Devi very, very nicely, now Yog Maya Shakti, she took the Sankarshan, the baby Balram, and she transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, from Mathura to Gokul Mahavan. So that's how we see that she has got different names, and one of the name is Kali, one of the form is Kali, and obviously she has got a different pastime. So she is a ferocious form of Durga. And she has, and the worship style of Kali is different. Obviously, even the form of hers is different. It's very, very ferocious form, you know, if we see, right? So when it comes to Shyam and Shyama, Shyam is Krishna and Shyama is Srimati Radharani. Shyama is not Kali. Yes, Shyam and Shyama. So when it comes to Krishna, there are three energies of Krishna. With this, you know, I would like to complete this answer. So, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tatashta Shakti. So, Antaranga Shakti is the internal potency of the Lord, and that is Srimati Radharani. Bahiranga Shakti or external energy of the Lord is Durga Devi. And she has got different names, and one of the names is Kali or Annapurna or whatever. And Tatashta Shakti are we living entities. So, these are the three Shaktis and we are also one of them. Yes, so, we are Tatashta Shakti. So whenever we ask a question, who is Durga? The answer given is external potency of the Lord. So she is the one who is managing this entire material world. With this, and I would like to stop answering this particular question. Also, we'll take a break from Q&A. And I would like to show you all a video of Prabhupada. Before that, you know, I want to ask a question to all of you all. So you have been attending the Gita course from a long time. Yes. Almost, if I'm not wrong, some 3-4 months. So question to all of you all is, how many of us feel indebted to Srila Prabhupada for the knowledge that he has given in this wonderful book called Bhagavad Gita As It Is? How many of us? The chat box is open. You can type. Yes. Yes, each day. Richa says each day. Oh, I bought my Vrindavan trip. That also I'm supposed to speak. Okay, I'll do that. Each moment, every second, very much. Yes, yes, yes. Say, so very much, you know, we do feel very, very indebted to Srila Prabhupada. So here someone is saying that each time I read Gita, I feel indebted. Every day I feel indebted. Very, very much. Yes, mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we are here. Very, very grateful. So yes, so all of us are indebted, you know, to Srila Prabhupada. Whenever I go in front of the deity of Srila Prabhupada, you know, really, you know, we feel for Srila Prabhupada that Jadi Prabhupada na hoito, tabe ki hoito, jivana bahita ki. So if Prabhupada wouldn't have been there, what would have happened to all of us? What would have happened to people all around the world who are devotees now? Now since someone has asked me about Vrindavan, so I can share something on that also. So when I went to Vrindavan, so many instances are many nice experiences. I will share one of them. So one devotee was very, very inspiring. So in ISKCON temples, we have Mangalarti. So Mangalarti happens early in the morning at 4:30. So in Vrindavan, we have got Samadhi of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada left his body in Vrindavan and his Samadhi is there in Vrindavan. So the Samadhi Mangalarti happens at 4:10, early morning 4:10 a.m. And the Mangalarti of Radha and Krishna happens at 4:30. So from last few years, when I'm going to Vrindavan, I'm observing that this one foreigner is there. Very, very old personality he is. Now he's a foreigner. And his legs are not proper. It's not properly functioning. He will always hold, support, and then he would walk. To walk, from one place to another, I was just observing, it takes a good amount of time. So I would start at 4:05. So 4:10 was Mangalarti at Prabhupada Samadhi. So at 4:05, I would start from the place where I was staying and I would run to that place. to be there at the samadhi before the altar opens. And then when I would run, so this person would be there and he would be always there, you know, ahead, reaching the gate. So I would always wonder, when is he starting from his place? Because his place was far from where I was staying. And every day he was doing that. And, you know, pretty old and pretty hefty body. You know, he was not lean, you know, and slim or something like that. Hefty body. So every day, you know, he would be, you know, using that to support, and he would be walking with lot of endeavor, lot of hard work. He would be walking, you know, to take darshan of Prabhupada, to take darshan of Radha and Krishna. It was so inspiring to see this person, that a foreigner has come, you know, from a different place. He has settled in Vrindavan, and his everyday schedule is this. Get up early in the morning and go and, you know, attend Mangalarti of Prabhupada, attend Mangalarti of Radha and Krishna, and sit there, you know, amongst the association of devotees and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So every day, what I would do is, he would be sitting, he's sitting on the chair, I would be sitting in front of him at his feet, some distance, but I would be sitting close to him and I was chanting. So it was really inspiring, you know, really inspiring to see these foreigners. There are many, many other foreigners also. They have settled in Vrindavan. They have given up their all posh, so-called developed countries, and, you know, they have settled in Vrindavan. So, in fact, even in this COVID, there were many foreigners who came, you know, from different places, you know, to take darshan of the Lord in Vrindavan in this holy month of Kartik. It was so inspiring. Again and again, you know, it was a reminder for me that you fool, you are an Indian. It was a reminder for me that you fool, you are an Indian. And look at them, they are someone, they are aliens for this place. But still, they've taken a bhakti so seriously. What are you doing? What are you doing? So this was one of the experiences which I had. And also, you know, we were traveling from one place to another in Vrindavan. So the drivers would be there with us. So they would take us from one place to another. So one such driver, I would keep talking, you know, with each and every driver whom we took to different places. So I would talk with them. So one such person I was talking to. So I would, you know, test, you know, them with various questions. So one person was asking him that, see, if you go out of Vrindavan, you'll get a lot of salary. You can come to Bangalore. I stay in Bangalore. You can go to Mumbai, Delhi. Delhi is nearby. You can go to Delhi. You can earn a lot. What are you doing here in Vrindavan? It's so cold. And then if the visitors don't come, like now it's lockdown, visitors are not coming. So, you know, you will be in loss. It will be very difficult. So better, you know, you go out of Vrindavan and do something. You know what he said? That, you know, Prabhuji, I don't want to go anywhere outside Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani is providing me whatever I need, and I've got self-sufficient things. I will never leave Vrindavan. This is what he said. And I was like, oh. So whatever questions I was putting, you know, it was a tight slap on my face. Hey, chup! I'll not leave Vrindavan. So the love of the Brajavasis, the Vrindavan Vasis, is so great for Vrindavan. And the love for Radha and Krishna is so intense. They don't need a Gita course. They don't need to read Bhagavad Gita also. They know very well who is Krishna. Who is Krishna for them? Krishna is our family member. Krishna is my Kanha. This is what the driver was telling. So every time, you know, every Brajavasi I meet, I would tell them that please pray for me, you know, that I come again to Vrindavan. So this one particular driver, he was telling that, you know, when it comes to you, so Radharani will listen to your prayer more than my prayer. Then I said, how come? What is the logic behind? He said, see, I'm her family member. So family members are always taken for granted. And since you stay far, so she will hear your prayer first and then my prayer. So they naturally have that feeling that, yes, I am a member of Krishna's family. Srimati Radharani is my mother. Krishna is my father. This is what is the feeling. Now, or Krishna is my son. This is what is their feeling. Yeah, so I was feeling very small when I went to Vrindavan. Very, very small. Chutku I was feeling. Because the love that their people have for Lord Krishna is so great. So great. Yes. So maybe in the next few years we can... sometime all of us can go to Vrindavan together. Yes. Govardhan Parikrama. Yes, Govardhan Parikrama. Again, that's another very inspiring thing. Govardhan is 22 kilometers circumference. Now, it's a miracle, actually. It's a miracle. I would say it's a very magical Parikrama. that in one stretch people do parikrama. And what happened is the, you know, some Josh was there in Vrindavan. So normally without chappals we'll go, you know, to different places. So I just kept my chappals in the footwear in the room and I would go around with my devotee friends. So when we were doing that, so with time what happened is the blisters developed on the feet. And then on 30th of last month, we did parikrama of Govardhan. It was Purnima. So till 30th, 25th, I was there in Vrindavan, 5 days and lots of blisters. And when we were walking, oh, it was really painful. And we started in the morning at 10 o'clock or something. And at that time, 10 to 11, I was fast walking, fast. Nahi khatam karna hai, 4 ghante mein khatam kar denge. And then when we were walking, and then my speed became slow and the feet started paining like anything. And I was like, maybe this time I would not be able to do Govardhan Parikrama. But somehow, somehow the entire Parikrama finished, 22 kilometers in one stretch, without taking a long rest anywhere. And it took around 6.5 hours, if I'm not wrong, to do. And it is so inspiring. And the trust and the faith that people have on Govardhan is so great. See, I was walking and doing Parikrama. There were people who were doing Dandavat Parikrama. So Dandavat Parikrama means, we fall flat. That is Dandavat, say the entire body is going like this. So again, the person will get up and he'll go to this point. And from there, again, he'll pay Dandavat. Then from here, again, Dandavat. So making Dandavat Parikrama, not walking, doing Dandavat Parikrama. And that takes, one of my friend did, it takes 5 days, to do Dandavat Parikrama, complete of Govardhan, 22 kilometers. So many people are doing Dandavat Parikrama. So when my feet were paining at that time, I was telling him, shame at you. Look at them. They're doing Dandavat Parikrama. And what are you doing? And there are few sadhus I saw that they were doing Dandavat Parikrama, but 108 Dandavat at one place. And then they'll get up from that place, then next place, 108 Dandavats. Then another place, 108 Dandavats. Like that, 108 Dandavats they were doing. I was wondering how long it will take to complete the entire Govardhan Parikrama. Maybe the goal of their life is to do Govardhan Parikrama. Yeah. So, this place is a mystical place. This place is a transcendental place. You know, a person with some logic goes there, all his logic will fail. All his logic will fail. Yes. But one thing I could make out is, lots and lots of hard work, we need to do to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Yes. So many devotees are doing so much of hard work, to attain Krishna. They're doing their, daily duties at the same time. They're taking out, exclusive time to do bhakti of Lord Krishna. I could make out that, yes, we have to do intense devotional service every single day, chanting, reading, hearing. And having that goal that, yes, I want to attain Krishna this lifetime. Yes. So anyways, it's already time. I would like to show a video of Prabhupada. So as you all said that we all are indebted to Srila Prabhupada. Mm. Yes, when I say Vrindavan, I remember one driver was telling that when I was very young, my grandmother would take me, to this particular temple. He named one temple there. And he said, when I would come to Vrindavan, at that time, Vrindavan would be full of forest. Only trees. And then, I was talking to another shopkeeper also in one of the marketplaces. He was very old. So he said, I've met your Prabhupada. And then I asked him that, what is the change that has happened after Prabhupada has talked about Vrindavan all over the world? He said, now Vrindavan is no more a village. Vrindavan has become... a place, with different people from different countries coming here and residing. And in Kartik, Vrindavan gets flooded with people from all around, and it's because of Prabhupada, only Prabhupada. So yes, we all are grateful to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada has got an instruction for all of us. In this particular month of Gita Marathon, this is the instruction. I would like to play the video for all of you all. Please see this video. Where is it? So please hear carefully because the voice might not be clear.
So we have to simply...
Prabhuji, there is no voice.
There is no voice coming.
Sound Prabhu.
Okay, I'll do it again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama.
So we have to simply take instruction from Guru, and if we execute that to our heart and soul, that is success. That is practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my Guru. That's all. My Guru Maharaj asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So, there was a private meeting talking, some of my important God brothers also there, it was in Radhakunda. So, Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bagh Bazar marble temple, there has been so many dissensions. And everyone is thinking we occupy this room or that room, that room. I wish therefore to sell this temple and the marble and print some book. Yes. So I took up this from his mom, that he is very fond of books. And he told me personally that if you get some money, print books. Therefore I am stressing on this point. Where is book? Where is book? Where is book? So kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. Then Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. If we are in devotional service, we get a different nature. And if we engage in business of sense gratification, we shall achieve that.
And then the karma is that they hope and love the hated.
Yeah. And according to the association of different nature, we get a body, karanam gunasangasya, sadasat jamma.
Hare Krishna. So we can see that what was Prabhupada's request? It was very clear. So Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told Prabhupada that print books, if you get money, print books. Prabhupada's request is this, that please help me to print more and more books and to distribute the books throughout the whole world. You know, Prabhupada is very clear in his instruction. And you see, even at the time of the last few days, you know, in the last few days, Prabhupada's entire body was paralyzed. Only his head, you know, was in a functioning state. Entire body was paralyzed. And even at that point, Prabhupada is dictating a purport, you know, to the 14th chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you imagine this? How much affection and how much love Prabhupada has for all of us. And he was taking so much of pain even at the time of death. So it's, if we really feel indebted, you know, it's not just saying that I'm indebted to Prabhupada or grateful to Prabhupada. We have to do something for him. And we cannot do much for him. Because he has given us life. He has given us life. We were just existing. And he taught us how to live. It's a great thing. Great thing. We cannot give anything much to Prabhupada. But yes, this one instruction we can try to fulfill. We can distribute Bhagavad Gita's in this month as much as possible. As much as possible. So there are three ways in which we can do. One is get a Gita. That is, we can buy Bhagavad Gita's for ourselves. If we don't have. If we have it, you know, we can convince. We have it, it's good. Along with that, we need to convince people. See, you have attended Gita class for a long time. Now it's your time to give a Gita class to someone. So convince someone to take a Bhagavad Gita. And I'm sure now you are convinced that yes, Gita can change life. All of us have got some experience. No one can deny this fact that yes, Gita can change life. So we have to convince people that yes, buy a Bhagavad Gita. Because when someone pays for it, they value the book also. So yes, we can do that. First, get a Bhagavad Gita. Second, gift a Bhagavad Gita. New Year is coming and many marriages are happening. So why don't we gift Bhagavad Gitas? So it's hardly, you know, some cost. Why don't we gift Bhagavad Gita? Now, we have seen that in foreign countries and all, other faith books are there everywhere, including the hotel rooms also. Then why not Bhagavad Gita? Why can't Bhagavad Gita be everywhere in libraries and in hotel rooms and different places? Why can't Bhagavad Gita be there in every house? That is what is our role. To make sure that Bhagavad Gita reaches every single person on this planet. They read, they don't read, that's up to them. But one thing is there. They keep seeing this book again and again throughout their life. One or the other day, they'll be frustrated. They will open this book. They will open this book. Yes. So we have to make sure that this happens. So we can gift Bhagavad Gita's. And one nice thing that we can do in this entire month of Gita Jayanti, the month of Gita Jayanti, the day when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So in this particular month, 25th of December is that auspicious day when that tithi of Gita Jayanti, which is also called as Vaikuntha Ekadashi or Mokshada Ekadashi. So in this month, we can do Gita Daan. That is called a Shastra Daan. So you might have heard Vidya Daan or Anna Daan and so on and so forth. So like that, there's something called a Shastra Daan. So very, very great Daan this is, especially in this month. So it is described that anyone who donates Bhagavad Gita to others, the person who is donating, will make a place for himself in Vaikuntha, in Goloka Vrindavan. Yes. So more than all that, we going to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, we are more interested to please Prabhupada. Prabhupada has given us so much and he's asking only one thing to all of us. Distribute my books. That's it. He's not saying that give me money. He's saying distribute my books. Let people get benefited, by this wonderful Shastra, wonderful literature, Bhagavad Gita. So I'm also requesting as your course instructor that please distribute Bhagavad Gita this month. So I see that 100 plus people, were there. So if everyone takes a target of say 10 to 20 books, I'll distribute Bhagavad Gita. Maybe I'll convince someone to buy a Gita or I'll gift a Bhagavad Gita or I'll donate Bhagavad Gita. So when it comes to gifting and when it comes to purchasing Bhagavad Gita, we're going to send a link. So on our website, there is a store. You can see which language you want and you can purchase or you can gift it to someone. by putting that person's address, and it will be couriered. So that we'll take care. ISKCON Whitefield will take care. And when it comes to donation, so you can pay the amount of as many books as you want to donate, and we will find the right recipient, the qualified recipient, and we will deliver it to them. From last few years, we are doing it. You know, so ISKCON does this. So they go to different villages and distribute Bhagavad Gita's for free. And last year, we ourselves, we went to government schools here in Panathur, in Belandur area. And with our own hands, we have distributed Bhagavad Gita's to those small, small kids. And you know, from 9th standard, 10th standard, and things like that, 11th standard, 12th standard. And they were very happy to receive Bhagavad Gita. In fact, they were coming and asking, what is there in this? What is there in this? In fact, I had given my number there. So few of them texted also, saying, I've started reading Bhagavad Gita. I've started reading Bhagavad Gita. This point is nice, that point is nice, and things like that. So it's a request to all of you all that please make sure that you do these three. Get a Bhagavad Gita, gift a Bhagavad Gita, donate a Bhagavad Gita. Yes. So let's see now what score we can get. So finally, we're going to calculate a score that from our Gita course batch, how many Bhagavad Gitas we distributed. So for that, one thing is there. After you do the payment, the receipt you have to send, the e-receipt you have to send to our finance in charge, Deepak Prashant Prabhu. So the number will be circulated. The entire message will also be circulated with various links. Okay. So I request all of you all that please make sure that we distribute Bhagavad Gita in this month. There is some book called Krishna book. We can distribute that also. There are various other Prabhupada books. We can distribute that also. Yes, because Prabhupada has asked us that distribute my books throughout the whole world. Yes. How many of us are going to do this? Can we post in the chat box?